Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning. Trying a little something different. Not sure if it's working. But if you could let me know if you heard music while you were waiting. Good morning, Blog Talk family. Did you hear music while you were waiting for the show to start?
Good morning. I did hear music while waiting. This is Myra.
Oh, well, hello, and welcome, welcome, our Ohio Fellowship. Thank you. Love you, and welcome to the class this morning. So thank you. So we now know that I can be a little technically advanced here. So we are definitely going to try that on other vineyards. So thank you for sharing and letting me know that the music was playing. Sometimes we get such awesome music, but it has to be downloaded into something. But now with this YouTube world and whatever, you could pull it right up on your phone and have both of them playing at once. I wasn't sure if they filtered in or not. So thank you very much for giving me that affirmation, and we will definitely be using it going forth. That song was Wanted. You Are Wanted. And it is by Danny Cokie. Danny Cokie, Wanted. A wonderful presentation of God's love for us and how he views us. And so as we look at the 25 powerful promises from God to us, we want to just review in our understanding and bring back to the forefront of our minds why we're doing this. You know, why are we in this pursuit of God's promises? And one of the introductory statements that the author, Mike Shivers, has to say is, first of all, there's 7,487 promises in the book, in the Bible. Unbinding assurances God has made for our victory. One way or another, in every circumstance, there is a promise given powerful enough for you to push through and overcome the opposition. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. That's a wonderful promise that we, in many stages and challenges in our life, we need to have that. And then even in the good times and the peaceful times, to have the promises of God undergirding us, being our foundation, we're not easily moved. Using real-life experiences and personal stories, as you read the promises that the author shares about his family, I'm sure it will bring to mind some of the experiences and personal stories you yourself have. And so we do want to encourage you to share those. Share updated real-time versions of your experience with the fact that God never breaks his promise. And then at one point in the Fellowship of Friday Fellowship of Learners, we actually went through a promise in every book of the Bible. And so I encourage you, pull that information out, revisit it. You know, if there's over 7,000 promises, how many do you know? And how many have you never even heard of, didn't think of, and yet was in need of it during some challenge and season in your life, that you could look at it and say, had I had that kind of assurance from God, you know, not that we weren't victorious, but the way in which we are victorious would have given him glory and honor. Experiencing a spiritual transformation is what his word is intended to do, for us to have transformed when we quit praying our problems and start praying promises. Start praying promises. Amen. Amen. We are translated. We are taken from darkness to light, from bondage to liberty, from despair to hope, and from defeat to victory. There's so many scriptures that give us that that path from darkness to light, from bondage to liberty, from despair to hope, and from defeat to glory. And when we look at those scriptures and those promises, we'll then be able to be reminded of all the inheritance that God has for us. And then he says, daily, I will load you up with these. Every day. And that itself is a promise. And so often, as the author was sharing in this particular session, the fact that we're reminded that this journey, one of the scriptures, like I say, that we can look at as part of this promise, and we know it, and it says, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And so as we see these things are given, they bless us and they glorify him. And that's what we're supposed to do in this earth realm. We're to bring heaven on earth,
bring heaven on earth
as it is in heaven. Okay. Make sure you put your phones on mute if at all possible. So that we don't get the background noise. So we're brought to an understanding. This is why we're looking at these promises, and I challenge you. Come up with a promise that actually you didn't know. If there's 7,487 promises, did you even know half of them? And how many of them were given because God knew we were going to need it to deliver us and to upgird us, to give us that is assurance that God has made our victory sure. It is done. God never breaks his promise, and not one word of his word is going to fail. That in itself, these are all promises. Promises that we can rely on, we can trust in, and we can build upon. And we can also use them to overcome the lies of the enemy. So in the foreword of the book, the author shares the fact that the gift of faith that God gave us, you know, he said he gave us the gift of faith in those hard times. We saw firsthand the power of the proclamation of some of the promises of God. We've seen it. And it says the power is in the word of God preached, and the gift of faith that brought home the truth of every promise written. So that gift of faith brings home to us. In other words, it brings into our heart. It brings into where we're sitting, where we're living, where we're walking, where we're serving. It brings it right to us, the truth of every promise written for healing, financial breakthrough, restoration, and deliverance. As we would begin to sing, testify, or preach the promise, we will literally feel the faith rising in us and in those around us. You ever realize how much you affect people around you? So one of the things is like the every word in our mouth is a our mouth and the words that we speak can bring life or bring death. And this is a contagious thing. And so I love the way the author shares, began to sing, testify, or preach the promise. And, you know, it's, you don't have to be a preacher to preach the promise, but you definitely have to be a witness that won't let it go. And every time the enemy would challenge the truth of the promise, you preach it, you stand by it, you proclaim the, and that's what we declare, God says this. And that's preaching the promise, testifying it to it. When you say, "Miss Samantha, how you doing?" "Well, you know, how are you today?" And this God says, "Today is, I made this day. Today is glorious." You know, he gives life and you have it. And he gives it more abundantly. And so that's our testimony, is how we respond when we're questioned about our environment, our situation, and our circumstances. When people are watching us as they see us walk on coal, you know, is the first word a cuss word and go, "Oops, sorry," okay? Was the first word a word of praise, glory to God, for he will never leave me. You know, he will never forsake me. So that's testifying to the promises of God. And then I love the one where it says, begin to sing it. In other words, let your words be so, have so much melody in them that it sounds like a song of praise. How many times do we see in Scripture, we see the song of Deborah or the song of David? And then to us, when we look at it, they're just words. But those words were spoken with the melody from the sound of heaven, releasing the truth of them in his and her heart. And they were declaring it to all who would hear their voice. One of the things, you know, when you think about it, when you talk, testify, and preach, that's at a certain level. Oh, but when you sing, you can get as loud as you want, and you can express it where other people, even if they know any of the song or the spirit of the song, will either sing with you or pat their feet or nod their head. That is spreading. That is spreading and releasing. That's bringing the truth of every promise right to our lap, to our heart, to our bosom, to our groin. He's just bringing it right in our gut, in our spirit. And so we have to declare this in the hope and faith that declaring the promises of God, it will produce, it produces, causes hundreds of answers to altar calls every night and every day. So those declarations and that hope and that faith that rises up in us because of our singing, testifying, and preaching the promises, it will literally rise up faith in us and in the people around us. And the promises and the testimony, there are the revival. This is a catalyst for revival and renewal. It is the promises of God, the testimony of God's people, who receive the fulfillment of these promises as sources of hope. And this is a source of hope for unbelievers because they see it in you. The hope and faith that is declaring the promises of God will produce thousands to see there really is another answer. It is not just the word of the enemy. It is not just the insight that the enemy gives us of such doom and gloom, even though we live in a fallen world, and truly it is a fallen world. However, he has brought a light, and as we were shared with in service, we are that light in that dark room, and it is such a hope when you see a light, when you see a light that can lead you to a place that is not dark so that you can see what's around you, you can see where you're going, you can see that like the sun comes out. When the light shines in darkness in the lives of people's souls, in the lives of their souls. They live in such misery. They live within a society and a world that is so full of misery and suffering and pain and things that just don't make sense. And yet, we can smile, we can sing, we can rejoice because there's a greater truth that we're standing on. It is not the one that we see with our eyes, but it's the one that we have eyes that have been enlightened to see from a God's eye perspective. And the only way to get this God's eye perspective, quite frankly, is to get some of these promises and put them in front of your eyes and don't see anything else but the promised assurance that God has given us in his word. And so in the first promise, he talks about inheriting God's kingdom. So one of the things that we have to do, I think, on the first promise, is divine revelation. That's divinely understanding who he is, receiving our new identity in him, understanding that not one word will fail from what he has said because of who he is, his power, his might. And there we go to the names of God, understanding them and incorporating the power of them over our faith, incorporating the power of the names of God over our faith, so our faith will grow and we will, first of all, we'll pursue and seek you. He says, seek me and you'll find me. Seek some of these promises. Seek some of the promises that you have never heard before or you don't remember or you read them but you didn't realize that they were promises with power. They were promises that will cause us to be in a position where we can be blessed. Remember, we have to be in a certain place to be blessed, and sometimes the only way to get in that place is get hold of that power, that promise, and ride it, as if they ride it to the rainbow, ride it to the original promise of God, and that's that rainbow, which he shares to us about the mystery of the rainbow. But just the fact that every promise has already been fulfilled, every promise is a full circle. It's not a half rainbow. It's a whole rainbow because has no beginning, has no end, because it comes from the one who has no beginning and has no end, for he is and was and is to come. And the fact that every word that has come out of his mouth will not fail. And so that gives credibility to the promise giver and the giver of that promise. So we have to submit, set our priorities in order, and one way to set them in order is to get to know what the promises are. That'll give you a set of priorities. To never give up, be tenacious about being, I need to persevere, so after you have done all, you may receive the promise. That's what the Word of God says. It says, in setting our priorities, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Confess God's word often. Be consistent. Let us firmly hold the profession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And so that's the point. He promised us. He is faithful, and so we don't have to waver back and forth, lukewarm, on the fence, off the fence. Be consistent. He said it, believe it, stand on it, and treat it like a lottery ticket. Because it's worth more gold than we can imagine. And then thank God in advance. Don't wait till you see it, that because you saw the promise, but because you read the word of the promise, then thank God for that promise. And be positive in all these things and be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. So acknowledging the divine timing. I think that's the part that may be a little difficult for us. We see the promise, we hear the promise, we believe the promise, but we need God to do it on our terms, on our timetable. Someone gave me a word once, and it said, your time is not my time, and that's what God was telling me. And so we have to realize, you know, I got to be on Holy Ghost time. I got to be on heaven's time, not this temporal earth time, because that will limit you, and that will put into the equation things that you have no control over. But if you're on the eternal time, then all of the control you have given to God, and you can trust and believe he will not fail. Every word he said will come to pass, that blessing as well as that cursing. And so we need to understand there's two sides to the promise, not to the promise, but there's two aside to the things that are in the Word of God, those promises to help us stand, and also those promises to let us know when we don't and we don't stand in Him and in Christ, then we will die. Don't let the devil say, no, you shall not really die. Oh, yes, not only will you die, you'll die dead and never die, because you will be burning in hell forever. And so we have to realize these truths are not going to pass away because of who's in office. And they're not going to pass away because they were voted down in the Senate. They're not going to pass away because the church decided it's okay now to do this, or now all of a sudden it ain't okay. It is what the Word of God has said. And so we have to know what the Word of God is saying and has said. We need to, as we pass through these successive stages of life to maturity, on our way to a promised goal, God prepares a place for us, but He also prepares us for that place, that the two might coincide perfectly. So you don't want to get to where your promise is and you're not ready for it, okay? And you don't want to be where your promise is and you're not there yet. But if you understand that He said what He has started, He will perfect and He will finish, then you will trust it in His hands. You won't fret about it. You won't freak out about it. You won't worry about it. You won't be depressed about it. You don't have to be troubled about it. He said, don't trouble your heart. All this stuff has been prepared for you. We got this. You need the Father and the Holy Ghost. The Son is telling us, well, they got this for us. We just have to trust and believe. And how many times I heard apostles say, trust and believe that. You can trust and believe that. That's in the Word of God. And so we have to understand who our identity is. This is who we should look like. This is what we should look like. This is what should come forth from us. And so we're given the divine revelation of the power of that. And it says this is given for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is a promise. It is given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He says, but is that as written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for you who love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And it's not like we don't know that scripture and we have not declared that scripture. But there's a divine revelation and truth about that scripture that has to grow us up and grow up our faith and bring us to a place where we're patient, we're consistent, we are never giving up, we're waiting on the Lord. And we are in a place of worship. That's why He says that, you know, praise be continuously. If praise is continually in our mouth, then there can't be a complaint in our mouth as well. And we just need to repent. That's what I love about God. I love, love, love about God. Because all He asks us to do when we have not done that which He has asked us to do is to repent. Is to humble ourselves and repent. We're walking up the steps of the temple of truth, and it starts with repentance and humility and meekness. And this is all that has been required of us. You know, all that God requires of you, man, is to walk humbly with God, love mercy, do justly, and walk humbly with your God. That's repenting. When I have not, when I should or when I have, when I shouldn't, then I have to go before the Master, who is a loving and forgiving God, and there's some promises up in there that lets us know I can go there and it is done. It is finished. Because, first of all, Christ said it is finished when He was on the cross. Sin now has been dealt with forever. It is dealt with forever. And so we just have to follow His plan, and it really requires us an act of surrendering and letting go. It is nothing we have to obtain to, No, all we have to do is surrender and let go. And everything else, he said, I will exalt you in due season. So he will lift us up. We, again, his due season, that's his time, his time. And so let us just praise him for his time, understanding the divine revelation of that truth. And then there is every born-again child of God has his disinheritance. Yes, the breath of God is within you, inspiring you, enlightening you, opening your heart to embrace the deeper truths that can be experienced in this life. That is a promise. Every born-again child of God has this inheritance. Amen. Amen. So then we went to the second promise, inheriting the kingdom of God, and which is in this fallen nation, nature, we have no capacity to believe in the true and living God. So God first introduces this faith into our heart as a gift. So we can't afford it, we can't get it, we can't obtain to it, we can't work at it, we can't build to get it. He says, here is a gift. Those who receive such a generous endowment from the Creator may be impoverished naturally. Now, you may look at me, and I don't, somebody used to say, you know, I don't have a pot, you know, to throw out the window. But spiritually, we become the rich of the earth, because what we were then possessed in our inheritance is far greater than the wealthiest individual in the world who does not know God. For all other riches will eventually fade away, but this supernatural wealth will endure forever. So we've been inherited a kingdom that always was and always will be. We inherited this. We share God's throne. He says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. So, before we were separated from God, dominated by sin, controlled by satanic powers, corrupted by the fallen nature we have, and then overshadowed by death. All these things reigned over us from the time we were conceived in the womb. And it's like, no wonder we came into this world crying as children, as little babies. Then we discovered God's generosity. He raised up the poor out of the dust, lifts up the oppressed from the dunghill to make them sit with princes and inherit a throne of glory. This is the promise. This is the promise. Divine rest, divine authority, and divine power. Now remember, these are all things we automatically possess. Divine victory. And this is something that's given. You know, he said he loads us up with benefits daily. So watch what you pray with. You praying for power, you already have. You got all the power you could ever get, because you're sitting on the throne with God in the seat with Christ. There is, and He is it. He is the power. So what are we praying for? Are we praising for it? Are we declaring it? Are we allowing it to come forth through our speech, our singing, our testimony, and our preaching, or our life's work of coming forth from us like pure gold? And then one of the four promises, the hundredfold return. And it says, so God answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time of houses, brothering, sisters, mothers, and children and land with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. And so there's a promise that nobody really really wants this promise. They want part A of the promise. They don't want part B, and they can't conceive of part C. So part A is saying, okay, houses, and yeah, we can deal with houses. Do we really want brothers and sisters, mothers and children? Do we really want them? Because that's what you get when you connect to the body of Christ. Now, all of these become your brothers and your sisters, your mothers in Christ, your children in Christ, who you mentor and you train and you teach, who you live before to let the light of Christ shine in you. That's a hundredfold. So you may only have two kids, but you can end up, I think of some people, you know, they say, oh, that's my mother. I thought, oh, there's a mother. She got many spiritual mothers. So you may have given up one who didn't understand where you were going when you were going there. But because of the gospel's sake, you had to go anyhow. And then you've got many more mothers. You've got many more brothers, sisters, and children. And then the other is land. Now, we don't mind getting the land and the house. So do we really want, here you go, and they go there and say, overseer. Overseer didn't say it. The word of God said it. Here you go. This is the ministry of one another. This is where your hundredfold comes through the children of God that's placed in your life as either children, brothers, sisters, or mothers. That's the hundredfold. So we can't say I love God, but the people is a problem. No, the people is your reward, and you get a hundredfold over the friends you left, and when you compare them to the children and brothers and sisters that you're going to get because now you are part of the household of faith. And then it's with persecution. It's like, oh, no, we could just briefly say that so quick you can't hear it. You know, we get the thousand, hundredfold, and then over the houses, brothers, and land, and we're going to persecute. In the age to come, eternal life. And so those two aspects of it is hard to embrace, but only when the truth of the promise you don't fully have a divine revelation of. So the power and the riches of these brothers and sisters and mothers and children in Christ become a source for us of encouragement, a source of help, a source of fellowship, a source of strength, a source of failing not to assemble yourselves with one another, because there's power in the assembly, the coming and touching and agreeing. That's that hundredfold. You know, I can touch and agree, well, actually with my family, with work, but there's some people you can't touch and agree with certain people in your family and come up with anything really powerful or good, you know, and they're not without strife and trouble and dip and all sorts of spiritual warfare. But when you touch and agree with the children of the household of faith, with your brothers and sisters, your mothers and your children in the Lord, then you have a connection, a bond, a strength that the enemy cannot break through. That's why he said that it won't prevail. Nothing is going to prevail against the church and win. Nothing. Because it is too powerful. It is too strong. And so as a result, this promise is calling us to radical discipleship. And what do you mean? Well, in order to leave everything, that's kind of radical. One of the words for the Reconstruction Church last year was that God would radically rearrange us, radically rearrange us, and truly he has, he's done. And this year it's that he will take the anointing that came from that rearrangement, and he will then send it to where he wants it to be. So now that we've been purified and radically rearranged, he wants that kind of radical discipleship. That it doesn't matter what it looks like, doesn't matter what anybody say, God said it, I'm going to do it, and that's it. And how many people have that kind of testimony that they can give of their, especially when you first came to walk in obedience? It was such a powerful time. And no matter what God told you to do, you were willing to do it. And then you started hearing the response of people. Then you started living in the unbelief of others affecting you every day, their words, their actions, their issues, their imperfection. And as a result, it tended to wear us down physically, but it is intended to build us up spiritually. So how many times have we heard, you know, when you see that persecution, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. It's like, who tells somebody that? Well, the Word of God tells us so that the promise can be seen. Some promises are there and we can't see it. Pastor was sharing about open door and making a door, and it's like it's a matter when she was speaking. You know, it's like that's the difference between Moses coming with the children of Israel behind him, and he gets to the Red Sea. So then he calls for the intercessor. Somebody pray. You know, where's my intercessor? Pray that a ship will come. Pray, you know, pray for a miracle, a wind to come, or we say an airplane to come. And God said, no. Step back. Don't pray so limited on me, because I can send those things to you, okay? He said, let me show you what I do. And he opened the Red Sea so they could walk across. And so we have to be careful when we get to these junctions and these places of testing our faith, what we kind of go into a certain mode, you know, we get into that mode, call for the intercessor. But we have to be focused on what we pray and what we're praising God for, what we're asking for. You know, don't ask for something that's already your problem. That's yours. That's almost like a kid bugging a parent who told him, yeah, you can have it. And then every day he goes, well, can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? But yeah, I told you to have it. Can I have it? Can I have it? Okay, now at a certain point, it's like, you know what? You really got it. But you're so busy looking for it to look like you want it to look, you don't realize the divine revelation of that promise. So we want to pray. Let's pray for a divine revelation. You know, those are some of the things that we want to build up our faith. Those are some of the things that we want to be in the forefront of our heart and of our minds and of our emotions. And then one of the promises is the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we all know that. We have all shared that. We are divinely ordered. And yet most believers are so inflexible. We are not flexible at all. So if God orders our steps, it's fine. We will walk in them as long as it makes sense to us. It's in our plan. It's in the direction that we thought we were. Or in the direction that we think, with our understanding, it makes sense, where he says, you know, don't lean to your own understanding. We have to be flexible enough with our schedules, with our plans, with our preferences, our dreams, our hopes. We have to be flexible and pliable and open-hearted to the move and the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit, because that's what keeps us grounded in the fact that we have to have the Holy Spirit to bring us to a good place. He is our guide. He is our guide. But if you think you know the way, and so you got the plan and you got the agenda and this is how it's going, and, oh, my God, they forgot to do this, or they didn't do that, or whatever, and it's like, make sure it's not that we don't make mistakes and not, you know, do some of the things that are in order to do. But make sure we're not dismissing the move of the Holy Spirit because it's, you know, they praise and worship for 20 minutes. Okay, let that song go. Okay, are they supposed to? You know, let us get to a place where God needs us to be and not a critique of where he's leading our steps. And so we have to humble ourselves. Remember, you humbling, that's what he said, and walk humbly with God, not showing God the way or nudging him, go this way, no, taking the back seat, if you will, side seat driver, or passenger, really. You're not driving, no, but the passenger. And then the seventh promise was God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Becoming the righteousness of God, this is one of the most amazing provisions of the new covenant, concerns us as believers receiving a status of righteousness in the sight of heaven. That's all of heaven. God the Father that's in heaven, God the Son, the angels, we receive that status of righteousness through our belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody attempting to reach such a goal, such a holy position of righteousness in the eye of God is traveling up a street named impossible. For the Bible tells us all our righteousness is as a filthy rag. So when you read that, it's a filthy rag. What is the, what is the cure for that filthy rag? It is the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. It's a robe that's placed upon us. It's a mantle that is placed on our shoulders by the Son of God, so that when the Father looks, he sees the perfection of our Redeemer. Hallelujah. His credit becomes our credit. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. Amen. And so then we have the eighth promise, crushing Satan. It says, and God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. I love that, because God is going to do it. He's just going to use your feet. So you can't do it, but God has done it. He's already crushed the head of Satan when Christ died on the cross. And Satan bruised his heel as the nails went into the Savior's feet. And so, as a result, we have to, like I say, we have to, I don't want to say watch what we pray. We have to be purposeful that what we're praying is in line with the Word of God, the truth of God, the promises of God, the divine revelation of God. And our prayers, you know, as Christ showed the disciples how to pray, and the way he started it is with worship. It's with acknowledging God. It's with acknowledging the perfection of God's thing, knowing, and it's acknowledging that only God can do those things, and our hearts are grateful for it. And it's like, and this my heart surely knows, okay, some of these things that have to come to pass come through him, and in that every good and perfect gift, he will make all things work to the good. And these are just ones that we know just off the top of our head, but all the ones that we are not that familiar with. Seek them out. He says, seek me and find me. Find my power. You know, find my intentions for you. Find my hope for you in my word. And you will find it. If you seek me, you'll find it. If you look, because he said, all of heaven's mysteries are yours. They're yours. Amen. Amen. Are exceedingly abundantly our prayer, and we know that the fact that we have angelic intervention in things, we don't command angels. God does that. He commands them. We certainly thank him for them, and we rejoice in that which we know that they have done, disguised in human form as well as miraculous coming forth around about us. And so we get to anybody, questions, comments, insight, inspiration, anything that you, the Lord has given you to share with us today. The lines are open. I just wanted to kind of summarize where we've been. They're very short, small chapters, 2 pages long, but we want to remember that we're building. We're building, and so we want to periodically look back on what's the foundation that we're building on. Amen. Amen. Anybody? Okay. You can take your phones off mute if you can and share. All right. So then we get to our promise 11. That's the one for this week. Blessings, blessed with all spiritual blessings. This is a big one for me. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. There are three aspects of this amazing promise. First, his word is in the past tense. The Father already has blessed us. Technically, this is called the present perfect tense, because it describes something that starts in the past but continues into the present, which is a perfect description of God's provision. And remember, the present is always where we are. So the present is always changing. And it's just such a powerful thing. You know, and just when you just marinate just on that, you know, this, and I never was really good in English, but I was introduced to this present perfect tense of a word that actually in regular reading was a little difficult concept for me to understand, but in spiritual things, it's like, now that makes sense. It is called, it describes something that starts in the past but continues into the present. And the present is always changing. And the past really can never begin. And so it is such a God thing for us to understand just the tense of the word when it says, blessed be to God our Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So we were blessed when we weren't saved. He knew that we would be, and those blessings were always ours. You ever wonder why, as an unsaved person, you either couldn't do it wrong or couldn't do wrong right, or you did wrong so right till, you know, it was scary, but it never worked like he thought it would work, you know, because he had already given us the spiritual things that we needed to be where he knew we were going to be. Believers who comprehend this truth no longer plead with God to pour out his spiritual blessings. Instead, we praise him for the manifestation of what he has already possessed. That's why I love this ministry. Those hymns, the maturation, manifestation, miracles, mantle, and I'm always forgetting. Anybody can help me with this one. So now there's five of them. But that manifestation of what they already possess. And so we're not praying for these blessings. We're praying for the manifestation. Now, the manifestation means a couple of things that we need to understand. In order for it to come forth in the earth realm, what we receive in the spiritual realm, we have to be conduits. That's that your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We are the manifestation. Okay? We are the ones that it's because it's in us. And we praise God for this manifestation. Now, this manifestation may come in ways that are not pleasant, in ways that are expose us, in ways that, that naked and not ashamed. You know, but in order for the manifestation of what we already have to come into the earth realm, we have to be prepared to do that. So the first thing is to understand the wording. The second, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, every all. These are things that this is the only God we have. He's no short of everything and all. You know, and then he even gets to the point where he goes abundantly, exceedingly, above all. I mean, this is the scope of the Creator who has bid us come to be a part of his family. And that's just hard for us to envision all. I mean, some movie was out, maybe it was Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and the girl is questioning the young man, oh, can you make hamburgers? He said, yeah, I can make anything that's food. She said, but what about bananas? He said, if it's food, I can make it. And then she started naming, what about Jell-O? You know, what about this? He said, if it's food, I can do it. So it's just hard for us to understand every spiritual blessing. First of all, do we know what spiritual blessings are? Because we do ask for them from time to time when we get into certain situations. But what are spiritual blessings? And when we realize what they are, then realize also that you have them all. You're already blessed with every spiritual blessing. So absolutely nothing has been left out. The entire spectrum of spiritual realities that bring wholeness and fullness to us has already been deposited in our heavenly bank account. Forgiveness, cleansing, love, joy, peace, imparted righteousness, holiness, strength, wisdom, knowledge, soundness of mind, power, authority, on and on and on. All we need to do, and I love this, is to fill out a withdrawal slip, put your signature on it, and by faith receive what rightfully belongs to you. Now, for me, that was it. All you need to do, first of all, and my thing is, okay, how? How do we fill out a deposit slip? First of all, you got to know what's in there. Then you got to know, if you go to the bank and you fill out a deposit slip, what do you do? First of all, you got to know what bank account to put, what number to put on the deposit. There you go, name of God. All right, that's the power, name of God. Fill out your deposit slip. Then you got to know what's in the bank. Well, then he needs filling out for $1 million, and I know all I got is $1,000 in there because that ain't going to work. So I got to know what's in there. So now you say everything. So maybe I'm looking for some strength, okay, which he says he will give to the weak. So I have to then acknowledge that I'm weak. That's why I put my signature on. This is the weakness of Paula requesting the strength of the Lord. And then he says, and then as I put my signature on it, I praise God. That's my signature, my praise, that I'm weak because now I am withdrawing from my spiritual bank account the strength of the Lord. And that's all I need. Now I got that and joy. He gave you one thing, but then getting the one that you asked for, he gave you five more. He said, and then by faith receive what rightfully belongs to us. And so, after you put your, and if they put your signature on, I have to put your praise on it. And by faith, I remember, how did we grow that faith? The word of God, the promises of God, put it in a priority in our minds, in our hearts, and in our understanding, in our emotions. That's my faith. My faith is in what God has said. By faith, receive it. Now, if I receive it by faith, faith is the gift. All I'm doing is going to the window. It doesn't make sense for me to give them my withdrawal slip, sign it, and then walk away. No, I got to walk with my hand out, waiting on them to put the money in the hand. And there was a time that was the scary place between the time that you put your from a life of poverty. Friend, there's enough money in there to get $5 out. Okay. And then when they find it, when that $5, really $10, you can't get $5 out of it. Come out that machine, you're so relieved. You're so relieved. But you wait to see when that little button be going, still checking, still checking. But by the way, I'm not driving away. I'm not leaving this window till he tell me yay or nay. And he has said every promise is yay and amen. And so when that little $5, that $10 come out, I am happy. But then, you know, you can kind of get, not arrogant, but you can get confident. Well, it was mine anyway. It was rightfully mine. You know, so we have to have that mindset, that understanding. And then, I'm going to go past the time here. The third thing, this inheritance is accepted in the heavenly places in Christ. Those who are part of the body of Christ have been given entrance rights into a supernatural realm that the people of this world don't even know exists. This astounding birthright comes to us the moment we are saved, as the following verse indicates. But God, I love it, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And he raised us up and seated us together in the heavenly places in Christ. Now that is so full of promise and hope and joy and praise. But God, no matter what came before, now my life is but God. That means I've surrendered it. I'm walking humbly with him. I have repented. You know, he's in charge. Don't look at me, look at him. Now you can go and somebody else got the ticket behind you, and the person taking the ticket, and then they get to you, and you pat, you point behind the person behind me, got my ticket. He's like, you can look at me, but God got this. And so he is the one that's rich. He's rich in mercy. And he is so, so loving. He has such a love, we don't understand his great love in which he loves us, because even when we were dead in sin, cursing him and his plan for our life, he was yet planning this perfected life for us in his son. And that's because of his great grace that we have saved. It wasn't because mama was or daddy was or grandma prayed for me. It's because God loves us. Amen. And he raised us up. He seated us. I didn't go up there and try to get the seat myself. He said it's better that you sit at the back of the church and let the person that's in charge bring you up. Okay? And that's what we are doing as we are buried with Christ in our baptism into the family of God, and we rise with him and in him. So we've come to just about the end of our session today. We have some more insight from this chapter we'll look at next week. But we do want to make sure, I don't want to leave out, many students of the Word view this scripture as the ascended life, laying claim to all the wondrous blessings that are waiting for us in the celestial realm. We would see in Christ said in the prophecy in Psalms 68:18 in advance that the Messiah ascended on high. He would lead captivity captive. In other words, as he assumed his throne, his victorious conquer over death, hell, the grave, and the imprisoned, both be free, so that we can enjoy heavenly glory, peaceless freedom, right here during our pilgrimage on earth, even during challenging times. And so we have to remember that he led captivity and the captive. He led us up to his throne, and we sit with him, overflowing in his victory, fighting a battle not to win it and be victorious. It is already won. It is already victorious. Fighting this battle in the victory that he has already won for us. Amen and amen. So we thank you all this morning for joining us and sharing with us in the 25 powerful promises from God. We encourage you, if you have any insights or information you want to share, truth you're a witness to,
Silent line.
Hi,
Amen.
I'm repenting even now. The word endowment, when you talked about how we have an endowment with God, and when we look at the blessings of God, we often just look at the blessings, but an endowment is something that got, that's been set up for you. It's been set up for you to pull on. Unlike a trust fund can happen whereas you have to be a certain age or you have to be a certain requirement or things of that nature. But an endowment is set up for an appointed time. So when you said the word endowment, it stood out for me that God has set up through Jesus Christ an endowment for us as the saints of God. It's something there to be plentiful. It's something there to be needed. It's something there for our health. It's an endowment. So I just wanted to, after you said it, just begin to kind of look at that word a little bit closer so that we can understand what's doing. When you have an endowment, it's not something that can be kept from you by anyone. It's something that belongs to you. So the enemy can't stop the endowment that's been given to you by God. I just wanted to say that. Thank you for the word today.
Amen. It was kind of hard for us to hear you, Papa. I understand, though, you're on your job, and so sometimes it is difficult. I got to do something. Thank you. Amen. 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 Anybody else? We do welcome your fellowship on Friday mornings from 9 to 10. It is a time that sometimes individuals may not have the book and still they can't really participate, but the format does allow us to make the review and to share because the chapters are so small that it's easy to really share the whole chapter, you know, within 5 minutes. And so don't let that keep you from being a part of it. We enjoy the fellowship. And we look forward to sharing with you on next week. We're well into 2020. It is awesome, and God is awesome and such a faithful, loving Father. We praise and we thank him, and we thank him for you. And we praise that you stay warm and dry and safe over this weekend and enjoy your worship. And we will talk next week. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I'm surprised, Pastor Diane, you didn't say nothing today.
I was listening, giving someone else a chance. I'm learning self-control.
I am the devil. All my people. All mine just quiet this morning. Okay. That's all right. I didn't have to blow my nose, so I was all right. So God bless. Love you all.
Love you all, too.
Love you. Okay. Bye-bye.